Imagine cutting your entire product development cycle by like 90%.
Yeah, which sounds crazy, right?
It totally sounds like a wild projection for the next decade or something. But that is actually a documented reality happening right now. You take a process that usually requires, months of late night whiteboard sessions.
And just endless prototyping.
Exactly. Endless prototyping, human trial and error. And you compress all of that into weeks or sometimes even days.
It fundamentally rewrites the rules of how we bring new ideas into the world. I mean, we are looking at a landscape where 72% of companies have already integrated artificial intelligence into at least one of their core business functions.
And that is exactly why we are unpacking this today. Because whether you are prepping to pitch a new initiative to your leadership team, or maybe trying to keep your skills sharp, or you're just insanely curious about how the apps you rely on every day are actually built, you need a reality check.
Like, there's just so much noise right now.
Yeah.
So much noise, a lot of buzzword-heavy hype surrounding technology. So our mission for today's deep dive is to look past all of that. We are pulling from this incredibly comprehensive set of data titled the AI Product Development Blueprint.
Which is great because it gives us a very grounded look at the practical reality of AI integration. We're going to explore what these deployments actually cost, the specific strategies companies use to build products.
And the traps, right?
Yes, perhaps most crucially, the invisible traps they have to avoid once these systems actually go live.
Okay, let's unpack this because I want to jump right into the sheer scale of this shift. The numbers are frankly staggering.
They really are.
When you look at major foundational industries, so automotive, aerospace, medical devices, they are currently projecting that a third of all their sales over the next 5 years will come directly from AI-integrated product development projects. We are talking about $30 trillion in expected revenues. Trillion with a T.
Yeah, and to understand why that number is just so massive, we have to look at the underlying mechanics of how software and products are built in the first place.
Right.
Because traditionally, software development has been fluid, highly iterative, and honestly kind of unpredictable. You write code, you find bugs, you patch them, you release it.
And you just pray nothing breaks.
Exactly. But AI is shifting that whole dynamic. There's this great quote from the CEO of Scopic, Tim Burr, and he points out that AI is turning software development into a predictive, data-driven process. It is making the creation of software look much more like the manufacturing of physical hardware.
Okay, wait, let me just wrap my head around that hardware comparison. Because with hardware, you have like precise measurements, right? Physics, verifiable materials. You know exactly how much weight a steel beam can hold before you even start building the bridge. Are you saying AI brings that level of structural certainty to writing code?
In a sense, yeah, it does. Traditional coding relies really heavily on human logic flows, so writing endless if this, then that rules. But AI, particularly machine learning, operates on probabilistic matching. It can analyze millions of lines of historical code and actually predict the most stable architectural path before a human developer even starts typing.
Oh, wow. So it just completely reduces the unpredictability.
Exactly.
It's like we've been building complex houses using only hand tools, measuring by eye, and suddenly someone drops off a fully automated laser-guided factory right on the job site.
That's a really good way to put it.
But I do have to push back a little on that 90% time reduction stat I mentioned earlier, because as a consumer, my immediate instinct is, well, skepticism. If you are compressing a development cycle by 90%, aren't you just cutting
That's
corners?
the natural concern for sure.
Like, does the actual quality of the final product hold up?
It does. But we need to look at what is actually being stripped away from the timeline here.
Mm-hmm.
Because that 90% reduction isn't coming from skipping the creative design phase or, ignoring safety testing.
Right.
It comes from eliminating the manual, repetitive grind. If you look at the data, 80% of companies cite operational efficiency as their primary goal for AI. They aren't trying to replace their lead architects.
They're just trying to automate the busy work.
Yes. The AI handles the massive data sorting, the repetitive code formatting, the initial bug hunting. So this allows a company to scale their output and maintain consistency without drastically increasing their headcount.
So the machine handles the brute force, which frees up the human engineers to actually strategize and innovate.
Precisely.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. But let's move from these abstract numbers into concrete reality. We've established the financial stakes, but what does this technology look like out in the wild right now?
Well, the cross-industry applications are fascinating because they reveal just how versatile the underlying technology is. Let's start with manufacturing.
Okay.
Right now, nearly 60% of manufacturing respondents state that quality control is their absolute number one use case for AI. They're moving away from having humans visually inspect parts on a conveyor belt.
Which, I mean, that is incredibly tedious and totally prone to human error.
Oh, absolutely. So instead, they use AI to continuously analyze data from thousands of microsensors across the factory floor. These sensors detect, like, minuscule variations.
Like what kind of variation?
Like a tiny temperature spike in a motor or a slight shift in vibration frequency. The AI maps these patterns and can actually predict a critical machine failure weeks before a human mechanic would ever even hear a strange noise.
That is wild. It completely eliminates catastrophic downtime.
It really does.
And I know healthcare is seeing a similar revolution. In the blueprint, there is a detailed case study regarding a company called OrthoSelect. They developed this tool called DubiS AI to handle orthodontic treatments.
Right, for the clear aligners.
Yeah. Instead of a technician spending hours manually mapping out the exact shape and spacing of a patient's teeth to build those aligners, the AI just automates the 3D tooth segmentation. The precision goes way up, and the time spent plummets.
And that healthcare application is pushing into something called ambient intelligence, which is huge.
Wait, ambient intelligence? That sounds a little sci-fi. What does that actually mean?
Yeah, it does sound a bit sci-fi. It refers to systems that monitor an environment without requiring active human input, and crucially, without being intrusive.
Okay, so not like cameras everywhere?
No, exactly. Imagine passive sensors like radar or thermal mapping.
Yeah.
That don't use cameras or microphones, so privacy is totally maintained. They just map movement.
Oh, I see.
So an AI system in a hospital room uses these passive sensors to monitor a patient's movement patterns. If a patient who is, say, a fall risk shifts their weight to try to get out of bed, the ambient intelligence instantly alerts a nurse before the fall even happens.
That is amazing. It's a complete shift from reactive care to proactive monitoring.
Exactly.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting for me. And this brings us back to the software side of things. There is this framework highlighted in the data called UX Agent. This is designed for user experience testing.
Right.
Instead of hiring a massive team of human beta testers to just click through your new website to find broken links or confusing menus, UX Agent uses large language models to do it.
And we should probably clarify for anyone unfamiliar, a large language model, or LLM, is essentially the massive text predicting engine that powers tools like ChatGPT.
Right, the stuff everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is trained on vast amounts of human text so it can simulate human reasoning and conversation.
Right. So with UX Agent, they take this LLM and essentially give it a persona. They tell the AI, you are a frustrated 65-year-old user trying to reset a password, or you are a distracted teenager trying to buy shoes on a smartphone.
Yeah.
And the system instantly generates thousands of these virtual agents, just a ghost army of simulated humans clicking every button, filling out forms incorrectly, and just trying to break the site in thousands of ways simultaneously.
It is an incredible stress test. And developers are pairing those testing frameworks with coding tools like GitHub Copilot.
Right.
These tools sit right inside the developer's workspace, analyzing the code as it is being written and actively suggesting the next block of logic. It's catching fatal errors before the software is even compiled.
And it extends all the way into customer support, too. Consider Abbey Connect, which is a virtual receptionist service. They integrated advanced AI to perform real-time sentiment analysis on phone calls.
Which is such a brilliant mechanism.
Yeah.
Because sentiment analysis doesn't just transcribe the words being spoken.
No, it's way deeper than that.
Yeah, the AI mathematically maps the cadence of the speech, the tonal shifts, hesitation words, and specific clusters of adjectives. By doing that, it can assign a real-time mathematical score to how frustrated or satisfied the caller is.
So the human representative can just adapt their approach instantly based on that score. So when we look at the big picture, AI isn't just a single feature you tack onto a product at the end. It is involved in the initial planning phase, like in healthcare.
Yeah.
It's doing the heavy lifting in the building phase with coding tools. It's simulating humans in the testing phase, and it's managing the post-launch support.
It is touching every single stage of a product's life cycle.
Which naturally leads to the boardroom dilemma. Because if a company recognizes the power of this technology, how do they actually acquire it? You essentially face a fork in the road with three distinct paths.
Ah, yes. The classic build versus buy versus hybrid debate.
Yeah, and I actually have an analogy for how to look at this, but I want to see if the technical reality supports it. Let's say you decide to buy an off-the-shelf solution. This relies heavily on APIs, which are basically digital handshakes that let two different software programs talk to each other.
Right.
Buying is fast, it's relatively cheap on day one, but you are stuck with whatever features the vendor offers. It feels like leasing a commercial bus. It gets you where you need to go, but you can't exactly take it off-roading.
That's a really fair baseline.
Then you have the build approach. You design everything from scratch. It requires a massive upfront investment in data scientists, model training, infrastructure. But you own the intellectual property entirely.
Yeah.
It's like custom building a high-performance Formula One car. It costs a fortune, but it does exactly what you want.
And it provides a long-term competitive advantage, too, because your rivals can't just go buy the same off-the-shelf software and magically copy your features.
Right. But then we have the hybrid model, which seems to be where everyone kind of gravitates. Yeah. You use existing third-party tools as your baseline and then build custom features on top of them.
Yes.
To me, this sounds like trying to graft that highly customized, high-performance Formula One engine onto the least commercial bus chassis. Doesn't that get incredibly messy from a technical standpoint?
Oh, it gets extremely messy. And you've hit on the exact vulnerability there, which is known as technical debt.
Hmm.
The data explicitly warns about the hidden complexity of the hybrid model.
Because of the foundation, yeah. Right.
Exactly. When you build custom architecture on top of a third-party foundation, you are entirely at the mercy of their updates. If the vendor decides to change how their API works or they deprecate a feature, your custom-built engine might suddenly stop communicating with the chassis.
Ouch.
Yeah. Your internal teams are forced into this constant state of maintenance, patching connections that break through no fault of their own.
So there really is no perfect silver bullet. You just have to, you know, choose your flavor of headache. If you need complete control and have the budget, you build. If you need speed and standard functionality, you buy.
Right.
And if you want a balance, you go hybrid, but you just have to budget for continuous integration maintenance.
Correct. The choice comes down entirely to whether AI is the core differentiator of your product, meaning it is the reason people actually buy it, or if it's just a background operational enhancement.
Okay, let's assume a company has made their choice. They have their budget, they have their deployment path. But before anyone writes a single line of code, there is a massive roadblock. This is the deeply unsexy prerequisite to all of this technological magic.
Data readiness and governance.
Yes. Unsexy, but so important.
It is the single most vital factor in the entire process. Successful AI adoption never starts with the algorithm. It starts in your data archives.
Right.
There's absolutely no winging it here. Machine learning models require vast amounts of data to learn patterns, but that data must be meticulously clean.
And clean data is way harder to achieve than it sounds. The data must be accurate, complete, and formatted consistently across the entire organization. You can't have, like, one department using spreadsheets and another using some proprietary database.
No, you can't.
If you're listening to this right now and thinking about your company's shared servers, and they are a tangled mess of duplicated files, outdated PDFs, and fragmented databases, that is a massive red flag.
Because an AI model will ingest all of those duplicated, outdated files and treat them as absolute truth. Plus, teams must legally distinguish between their proprietary data and third-party data.
Right.
You cannot train an internal AI model on data you don't legally have the rights to utilize.
And that leads right into governance. Governance means establishing strict rules, pre-deployment approval processes, auditability so you can trace exactly why an AI made a specific decision, and version tracking.
Exactly.
So what does this actually mean in practice? It means if your foundational data is garbage, your multi-million dollar AI system is just going to generate garbage. It will just do it at lightning speed.
That's spot on. Think of it as an issue of fundamental feasibility. The first question shouldn't be, can we use AI for this? The question must be, do we possess the highly structured, legally cleared data required to solve this problem?
Right.
If the answer is no, then AI is just the wrong tool for the job.
Let's assume the data is pristine. It is governed, cleaned, perfectly formatted. How do we actually push this out the door? Instead of just a checklist, how does a company actually move through this life cycle?
Well, it begins with a deep internal assessment. A company has to honestly evaluate their infrastructure.
Yeah.
Like, do they even have the cloud computing power to handle this?
That makes sense.
Next comes strategy and market research, where they determine if their user base even wants an AI feature or if it's just a gimmick. From there, They have to evaluate potential technology partners.
And evaluating a tech stack isn't just about looking at price tags, right? It's about interoperability. Mm. Can this new AI tool actually integrate with our legacy security systems?
Oh.
But the phase I really want to zoom in on is what happens after the product launches. Because there is a very dangerous assumption that once the AI is live, the work is done.
Oh, yeah. Which is the post-launch trap.
Yeah.
AI is emphatically not a set it and forget this technology.
The literature refers to this as drift and degradation, and notes that as user behavior evolves, an AI model that worked flawlessly on launch day will slowly decline in performance. And I have to admit, this throws me.
Really?
Yeah. I always thought the entire point of machine learning was that the machine continually learns. You're telling me it can actually degrade over time.
I know. It sounds totally counterintuitive until you understand how these models view the world. An AI model is essentially trained on a massive, highly detailed photograph of the world. It's a specific data set from a specific moment in time.
Okay.
But the real world is a live video feed. It never stops changing.
Okay, give me an example of what that looks like in practice.
Consider an AI trained to detect spam emails or fraudulent transactions in 2023. It learns all the linguistic tricks and financial patterns of scammers from that specific year. But by 2026, the scammers have entirely changed their tactics. They use new phrases, new routing methods. The AI's underlying code hasn't changed at all, but its performance plummets because it is still looking for 2023 patterns in a 2026 world. The model basically loses its alignment with reality. That is model drift.
Wow. So the AI isn't getting dumber. It's just strictly enforcing outdated rules while the rest of the world moves on.
Exactly why active monitoring is non-negotiable. Teams have to constantly monitor latency, which is the computation speed of the system. If it slows down, users just abandon it. And more importantly, they must actively monitor for hallucinations.
Hallucinations are a fascinating phenomenon. This happens when an AI confidently presents completely false information as an absolute fact. But why does a computer lie?
Well, it isn't lying maliciously. Remember, an LLM operates on probabilistic matching. It doesn't actually know facts. It predicts the most mathematically likely next word in a sentence based on its training data. So when it encounters a query it doesn't have enough data for, it still tries to fulfill its programming by predicting words. It strings together a statistically plausible sentence that just happens to be a complete work of fiction.
And it delivers that fiction with utter confidence. This is why user feedback loops are so vital. You have to catch these hallucinations and correct the drift before user trust is broken. Because if a customer realizes your AI support agent just hallucinated a refund policy, I mean, rebuilding that trust is almost impossible.
Which leads us directly into the broader systemic risks of this technology. Because when you have a system capable of hallucinating, drifting, and operating at unprecedented speeds, the potential for collateral damage is really high.
Let's talk about those risks, starting with bias. We discussed how models inherit their worldview from their training data. If a company trains an AI resume screening tool using 10 years of historical hiring data, and that historical data contains unconscious human biases against certain demographics, the AI doesn't know it's biased.
No, it just mathematically enforces that bias at scale, leading to heavily skewed outcomes. The only fix is incredibly diverse data and rigorous fairness testing.
Then you have the massive hurdles of privacy and security. AI systems are data hungry. This puts companies right in the crosshairs of strict data handling laws like the GDPR in Europe and the CCPA in California.
Mm-hmm.
These laws dictate exactly how user data can be collected, stored, and deleted. If an AI accidentally ingests and memorizes secure user information, the regulatory fines can be devastating.
Not to mention the internal friction. The data points out that adoption resistance from employees is a major hurdle. People fear their jobs are going to be automated away, or they simply don't trust the algorithms to do the job safely.
And tying all of this together is the looming question of liability. When an AI system is given the autonomy to make decisions, whether that is approving a loan, diagnosing a scan, or controlling a manufacturing robot, who is legally accountable when it makes a harmful error?
It's a huge gray area.
Is it the third-party API provider, the software engineers who built the prompt, or the executive who signed off on the deployment?
Exactly.
When you lay out all of these risks, the bias, the privacy laws, the liability, the employee resistance, what really strikes me is how profoundly human these problems are. We're talking about the most advanced computing technology in human history, but the actual roadblocks aren't the algorithms.
No, they're not.
The roadblocks are human fear, human bias baked into historical records, and human legal accountability.
And that is the ultimate takeaway for anyone integrating this technology. You cannot outsource accountability to a machine. The AI is a phenomenally powerful tool, but the responsibility remains entirely human.
Right.
A company can only navigate these risks through extreme transparency, robust data governance, and a culture that encourages critical thinking from its employees. You have to constantly question the outputs the machine gives you.
Which is the perfect grounding thought for us to land on today. If you are listening to this right now, prepping for that next big meeting, or just trying to navigate a world increasingly run by algorithms, you have the reality check. You know that AI product development is not some magic wand you wave over a business.
Definitely not.
It requires pristine, heavily governed data architecture. It requires constant, vigilant monitoring to fight off model drift. And above all, it requires thoughtful, deliberate human oversight at every single stage.
I do want to leave you with one final thought to ponder, though.
Yeah.
Something that builds on this entire paradigm shift.
Let's hear it.
We've established that AI is compressing development timelines by 90%. It is instantly generating data-driven design variations and spinning up thousands of virtual personas to perfectly optimize user experiences. But if every major company eventually adopts these exact same perfectly optimized large language models, what happens to the weird, unexpected leaps of human innovation? If everyone's data points them to the exact same mathematically perfect design, will we reach a point where every digital product on the market is flawlessly efficient, perfectly optimized, but completely and utterly identical?
Wow. If the machine optimizes every single variable, does it end up optimizing the unique soul right out of the product?
Yeah, exactly.
That is definitely something to chew on. And it brings us right back to our starting point. The messy human whiteboard might be getting replaced by a fully automated factory, but we still have to decide what kind of house we actually want to build. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the world around you, and we will catch you next time.